Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Ann Shields, and I hope that today's program really does give you food for the journey. It's an amazing story of a young man who, that's not the whole story for this day, but it was a story of a young man who was a murderer, and he ended up, of course, in prison, and he has quite a background. But in prison, he experienced an overwhelming conversion. And if I have time at the end, I'll share part of his letter to his mother before he died. But this is also the Monday of the fourth week of Lent. So let's take a look at the opening prayer. O God, who renew the world through mysteries beyond all telling, grant, we pray, that your church may be guided by your eternal design and not be deprived of your help in this present age. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, God has been so good to us. I want you to see how good he is to us as he was through Jacques. Jacques, who was a murderer. So let's take a look at the readings. I'll share something more with you about Jacques at the end. The first reading today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 65, verses 17 to 21. Thus says the Lord, Lo, I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The things of the past shall not be remembered or come to mind. Instead, there shall always be rejoicing and happiness in what I create, for I created Jerusalem to be a joy and its people to be a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and exult in my people. No longer shall the sound of weeping be heard there, or the sound of crying. No longer shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not round out his full lifetime. He dies a mere youth who reaches but 100 years, and he who fails of 100 shall be thought accursed. They shall live in the houses they build and eat the fruit of the vineyards they plant. Think of that. That's what God had in store for his people. And when we follow him, that's what we find. When we don't follow him, when we do it our own way, it's all up to me, then we find ourselves many times in very difficult situations. So I encourage you. Doesn't mean that for every now I'm going to go to the kitchen and wash the dishes, but you may just say to the Lord in the morning, today I'm going to take care of this house. I ask you to bless it and bless me for your glory, Lord. Something simple like that. Or you're going to work, Lord, I don't know what today exactly holds for me, but I ask you to give me the wisdom I need and the peace that I need in all that process of whatever it is that I have to do at work. Give me peace. It's a good way of beginning your day, and God hears your prayer. Don't just stand there and say, I'm waiting for the peace. Just go forward and know that, ask God to be with you. And even during the day, to just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for being here. You'll know. In your spirit, you'll know. And Psalm 30 tells us, I will praise you, Lord, for you have rescued me. I will extol you, O Lord, for you drew me clear. You did not let my enemies rejoice over me. O Lord, you brought me up from the netherworld. You preserved me from among those going down into the pit. Sing praise to the Lord, you his faithful ones. Give thanks to his holy name. For his anger lasts but a moment, a lifetime his goodwill. At nightfall, weeping enters in, but with the dawn, rejoicing. Hear, O Lord, and have pity on me. O Lord, be my helper. You changed my mourning into dancing. O Lord, my God, forever will I give you thanks. As you praise the Lord every day, even just in a few words, God hears that. He takes care of you. Many times you don't even know what he's done for you or how he's saved you or how he's cared for you. But he does, brothers and sisters. He cares for his sons and daughters. He cares for his disciples, just as he will care for you. Then we look at the gospel for today, John chapter 4, verses 43 to 54. At that time, Jesus left Samaria for Galilee. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his native place. When he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him, since they had seen all he had done in Jerusalem at the feast, for they themselves had gone to the feast. And then he returned to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And listen to this story. Now there was a royal official whose son was ill in Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, who was near death. Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The royal official said to him, "Sir, please come down before my child dies." And Jesus said to him, "You may go, your son will live." The man believed what Jesus said to him and left. And while the man was on his way back, his slaves met him and told him that his boy would live. He asked them when he began to recover, and they told him the fever left him yesterday about 1 p.m. The father realized that just at that time Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he and his whole household came to believe. Now this was the second sign Jesus did when he came to Galilee from Judea. The goodness of God, revealing himself in ways that people could understand at the beginning. He healed. They needed to follow him, but he healed them. He is a good God. You know, brothers and sisters, in our contemporary times, this would have been around 1957, there was a young man, Jacques Fesch, and he was a notorious robber and killer. He had done much that was wrong. But listen to this story. This is a part of a letter that he wrote to his mother the day before he died. This is another miracle, a different way, but it's another miracle. "Dear Mama, while the end is approaching and what you have blindly refused to admit will soon be upon me, 5 more days to live, perhaps 10 at the most," because he was sentenced to death. "I hope that my recent letters have helped you a bit to see things from a different point of view than the strictly human one. Above all, I have wanted to make you understand the cross, crucified love." Now, here's a man who was an agnostic, who didn't believe anything, who was committing serious crimes, and here he is on the eve of his death. Was there ever a greater crime that happened to Jesus? It is this sacrifice which saves us, and it is through it that Jesus continues to live here below. Understand then that my death is but a poor enough repetition of Calvary. I accept it as such and offer it to those for whom the Lord wants to save. It is a great sacrifice, and the blood which will flow, seemingly in vain, will in fact be regenerative. You must keep your promise to me to accept this death. Otherwise, I will not go in peace. You must prepare yourself by prayer for all that would happen and offer everything to God instead of making your grief the center of the world. Until tomorrow, Mama dear, and do not worry too much about me. Since this morning, I have mounted to heaven and will again be living in paradise. I embrace you with all of my heart, with painful arms. Thank you for the little doves and the photo and the extra big kisses from your tall son, Jacques. What happened to him? Listen to that. An incredible change. It was a miracle, really. There were people talking to him well at the same time that he was being condemned to death. Some people talked to him, and God spoke to him, and he found freedom, a freedom that this earth cannot provide. Jacques Fesch, who was a murderer, is now experiencing the reward from his late conversion, very late, right at death's door. But the conversion came. He accepted it. He accepted the Lord. He received him. And God will wipe away every tear. He'll heal. He'll restore. He'll make well, either in this life or in the life to come. Please, if you can, read a little more about Jacques Fesch. It's worth reading to see what he was able to do because of God's mercy on him. And I think too often that we do not even think about the mercy of God. We just say, oh, I hope God didn't see that. Oh, I hope God sees everything. He knows everything. He will always forgive if we come truly repentant to him. He will always forgive. That's his mercy. Don't just say the words. It means to be really sorry for what you did. Brothers and sisters, we have a God who is our Father from heaven. I miss my own father very much, but at the same time, he was a very good father. And I can't wait to see him, to rejoice with him. I want you to know the same. God can speak in some way to you or reveal. You know, someone could say something that opens your eyes or enables you to bring your sin to the Lord, whatever that may be. But I want all my people, all of you who listen to this program, I want you to know the freedom that God gives, even when we have done badly. If we ask for forgiveness, God will give it. He promised us that. Please take it to heart and pay attention and rejoice. God bless you. For a free copy of my booklet, Hope in the Midst of Suffering, please call our toll-free number 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ.